Because we are not introducing confirmands in this service, I may let you out a little early. You'll have to see. But that means you'll have to come back at 4 o'clock, right? I'm in a sermon series just now on the title, The Eyes of Faith. Today is the second sermon in this series. It's entitled, Believing is Seeing. The title for next Sunday on Easter morning is, in one word, Arise. And this morning, while I'll be reading Mark chapter 8, a few verses from Mark 8, in just a moment, I'll read them. I invite you also to remember the story of Palm Sunday and what people actually saw during Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem, which you heard at the very beginning of the service in the call to worship. I'll be twinning these stories this morning, speaking first on Mark 8, and then talking about the Luke passage of Jesus' triumphal entry. Both stories, I believe, helped to illumine our eyes to see what is important and God's truth given to us today. And so here now first, the Word of God as it comes to us from the 8th chapter of Mark at verse 14. Now the disciples had forgotten to bring any bread, and they had only one loaf with them in the boat. And he cautioned them, saying, "Watch out, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and the yeast of Herod." They said to one another, "Is it because we have no bread?" And becoming aware of it, Jesus said to them, "Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes and fail to see? Do you have ears and fail to hear? And do you not remember?" Let us pray as we come to the message. O Lord and our God, truly open our ears this day that we may hear about the wonder of your love. Open our eyes that we might see the great truths that you have for us in this life, the truths that really matter as we look at our world. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Well, today is Palm Sunday. It begins what is called in the Christian church Holy Week. It is a week that reminds us of all the events that lead up to the arrest, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The first story from Mark 8 that I want to share with you is not the story of Palm Sunday, but rather a story from the middle of Mark's gospel. It is the story after which, just before Jesus has multiplied the few loaves and the few fish to feed the thousands that had gathered. The miracle of the loaves and fish, that comes just before this passage in Mark 8. And after that great miracle, all eight who were present that late hour of the day, all people that were there ate, and when they were satisfied, Jesus blessed them and dismissed them to leave. And then Jesus and the disciples got onto the boat to go to the other side of the lake, perhaps to get away from the great crowds and to rest for the evening. But note with me, in the passage that I read, Mark gives us a very peculiar and particular detail. After this great miracle that had just taken place, he bothers to mention that the disciples, when they went onto the boat, they had only one loaf of bread with them. Well, discovering that they had only one loaf, the disciples discussed whether they would have enough or not to eat. And Jesus became aware of their conversation. He became aware of their concern, and then he spoke to them what I believe is one of the saddest lines in all of Scripture. Jesus said to them, "Why do you discuss the fact that you have no bread, or really one loaf? Have you eyes," he says, "but do not see?" Imagine he just had performed this great miracle of multiplying only a few loaves, and they were worried about having just one. "Have you not eyes to see?" Jesus said to them. It's very similar to the same thing centuries before the prophet Jeremiah had said to the people of Israel. He had said, "Hear this, O people of Israel, O foolish and senseless people, you have eyes, but you do not see." Jesus came into the world, in fact, to open the eyes of all people, to help them truly see what was important. He opened the eyes of many. He continues to open the eyes of people. And he calls us, the church of his church, he calls us to continually do the same, to open the eyes of people, both physically in medical mission and also spiritually, to open the eyes of the faith of people. Open the eyes. Open blind eyes. Why? Because it is only through eyes of faith that we can see the great realities around us, that we can see the unseen potential, the unseen reality around us, the realities that give meaning and purpose for life. This is why our children's ministry and youth ministry here at Northwood, and in any church for that matter, that's why it's always so critically important. The work that the confirmation class did this spring was amazing. All that they learned about Christian history and the Bible and who God is and how to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, all of that is critically important. Because it is only, you see, we believe through them having eyes of faith, faith in God and faith in Christ, only with those eyes of faith can they see the often unseen beauty in the world, the unseen potential. All of which is to say, it is not just enough to say seeing is believing. It would be truer, as you will hear in this message, I hope, and I know you will hear it in the cantata this afternoon, you will hear that believing enables us to see and experience great things with eyes of faith. With eyes of faith, we see the world so differently. For example, it's only with eyes of faith that we really experience and can see love at its finest. The marriage ceremony, you remember, it includes the part about the giving and receiving of a ring. And often the minister will stand and hold the ring and say that the wedding ring is an outward and visible sign of an inner and invisible grace that binds two loyal hearts together. You can see the ring. I've seen many rings, but we cannot see the stuff, the glue, the grace, the love that binds those hearts together in those two people. But because they see through lenses of love, they can see it, even when we can't. It is a gift of faith to see what others cannot see. For the past couple of days, Joyce and I traveled to Myrtle Beach, where I conducted the funeral for my Uncle Dwayne. I still feel as if I'm rolling along on the interstate after that 20-hour trip there and back. His wife, my Aunt Connie, she died a few years ago, and my Aunt Connie and my mother are half-sisters. And along with my side of the family that was present for Uncle Dwayne's funeral, there were just a few cousins that I know ever so little about from my Aunt Connie's side. All of us were there as family. We had come great distance to be there at the service and to see one another and to remember our Uncle Dwayne and celebrate his life and faith. I don't know if you remember Uncle Dwayne and Aunt Connie. They used to come every Christmas, the month of December, the whole month of December, and they would rent a home up in Holiday on the Water, and they would say to me, "Now, Nephew Chris, you don't have to come see us every day. We know this is a busy season of the year for you." And then about 2 o'clock every afternoon, my Aunt Connie would call and say, "You know, it's 2 o'clock. You can come by any time and see us if you have some time." After she died 3 years ago, Uncle Dwayne would do that as well. And he would still come during the month of December, and every day he would call. The point I want to make is there we were to celebrate my Uncle Dwayne's faith. And I said to those cousins and our family side that had gathered, I said, we are saddened by the loss. But make no mistake about it, we are here as a family interloping into this Murrells Inlet community and all the Moose members of the lodge that had come and the members of the VFW and the others that had come from the Masons, and on it went, the family they had put together for themselves as they had no children. But I said, make no mistake about it, we are here as a family because of two half-sisters that made this family come together. Now, my mother and her half-sister growing up, they did not know each other. They weren't encouraged to know each other as half-sisters in the 50s in that small town. I would almost say they were encouraged not to get to know one another. But it was because of both of those stepsisters and their belief that family was important that we all made that long-distance trip and we sat around and visited because we too believe in the importance of family. And you may be that person in your family that passes on that seed because of your deep belief in relationships. And if you have that belief, you can see that you have a much wider family than just your own. It is only with eyes of faith, it is only with spiritual insight that we truly see what matters in the world. Our physical eyes, they see only physical bodies, but eyes of faith see the whole person every time. Jesus saw this in people. Jesus, he met a lot of common people. He called tax collectors. He called sinners. He called fishermen to be a part of his early band of disciples. And in them, he saw character. He saw strength. He saw leadership. He appointed 12 of them, and those 12 helped with the power of the Holy Spirit to turn the world upside down. And the Spirit is still working to do that in every life here. Jesus always saw people. He always saw with the eyes of faith. I love the story. There was a day when Jesus was a guest for dinner in the home of Simon the Pharisee. And there they were in Simon's beautiful home, sitting at table, ready, preparing for the meal. And in walked a woman of the streets, apparently a well-known woman, a prostitute. And she entered that house, and with her she carried a jar of expensive ointment. And in that story, if you recall, she stood in front of Jesus and she wept. And she knelt in front of Jesus, and she took that oil and mingled it with her tears and washed his feet with her hair. And Simon, in the story, if you remember, I love this part because Jesus reads Simon's mind, and then he says to Simon, Simon, do you see this woman? Now, Simon was thinking to himself, if Jesus saw this woman, if he truly is a prophet, then he would know what sort of woman is touching his feet. But Jesus saw the woman. Jesus forgave her of her sins, and he sent her away in peace. Jesus saw people. Jesus believed and knew that with the grace and power of God, that lives can be transformed for God's own mighty purposes, that lives can be made more beautiful than we could ever imagine on our own. He believed in healing. Jesus believed in hope. And he saw people through eyes of faith. Every time we emphasize teaching and confirmation classes and Sunday school for young people, we are essentially hoping and telling them and encouraging them to believe in the words of Psalm 46, to believe that God is their refuge and strength and will be their very present help in trouble, and therefore they will not need to fear. And it's my prayer that every one of our young people knows by heart Psalm 46. And with that belief, you look at the world very differently with all the trouble and the suffering and the disasters. You will not fear, because the Lord is your refuge and strength, ultimately. It is only through eyes of faith that you and I can see what is great in this world, and indeed what is great. And we often forget what makes this nation as great as it is. What makes it great is not our spacious skies. What makes it great is not our amber grains waves of grain. It's not our purple mountain majesties. All countries have beautiful geography. But what makes the greatness of this nation is made of is seen in the noblest of ideas, the greatest ideals to ever find expression in the lives of people. For example, the equality of all people, the love of God for all people, the value of the human soul, wherever that soul lives on this earth, the sacredness of human life, the idea that everyone is innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. That makes this nation great, because we believe in liberty. We believe in justice for every human being. It is only through eyes of faith that we come to understand that these noble ideas are what make this nation great. Which brings me to the second story, the story of Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem, which I read at the beginning of the service today. You remember there was a great crowd that had gathered at the entrance of those city gates into that city of Jerusalem. And God's word in that story reveals some great truths for us that we need to see. Note with me several of them as I close. First, God's word tells us that the people waved palm branches. And we know that the symbol of the palm branch is that of victory. And we know as people of faith, it symbolizes Jesus' final victory over death. And because we believe that, when we look ahead into the events of this week, we can say Good Friday instead of Bad Friday. Yes, we grieve, we find ourselves emotional and in tears over the death of our Savior, but because of eyes of faith, we know that joy is coming. When the people shouted Hosanna, they were hailing Christ as King. And that word actually means save us, save us, save us now. And though in our own minds, those early people of faith, they waited for an earthly king perhaps, we now know and see with eyes of faith that Jesus is our true King. That God had a different way. God had a different mind, a different plan to bring salvation to all who would trust in Him. And that's why the words of Romans chapter 10, verse 9 are so important. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. It is with eyes of faith that we see this day, that we see Palm Sunday, and that the reign of Jesus Christ has never ended. With eyes of faith, we celebrate today that God has an ultimate plan of sending His Son to fight the final battle over death. And in this Holy Week, may God direct our thoughts toward what matters most, Jesus Christ as King and Lord of all. May we see that because of our belief. Amen.